Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
I had so many people come up to me over the last 2 days just so depressed.
His primary responsibility
over what was going on with, you know, the Cavaliers losing. The other night, they just like total depression. And I'm like, okay, they're down 0-2. There's nothing you can do about it. Yes, I know, less than 7%, less than 8% chance of coming back after dropping your first two games at home in a best of seven in the NBA.
I think it's way below 8%. It's only happened five times.
At home. No, it's if you're down 0-2, it's less than 8% chance to come back and win. It's what, you know, if you lose those games on the
if
road.
If you're down 0-2, it's less than 8%. You do it at home, it's even lower.
Oh, yeah, it's way lower than that. Okay,
that's what you're saying. Only five have ever done it.
So, but we're not going to, you can't.
That's okay. It can be done again.
That's right. Someone's going to have to.
Just watch Boston.
There'll be a six team that can do it. Well, look at you. Don't look at the Cavs. Look at Boston. Have some
Cavs
faith.
Cavs are beat up, man. They had their chance in game two. I thought they were going to win it. I said it. We sat here on, what day was it? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at me and you went, you think they're going to win even if these guys are out? And I said, yes. And I thought they were. I really did. I thought this is the opportunity.
And you were 1.1 second away from being right.
And, well, that's okay. And I'm not going to say they can't win it tonight. They can. But, man, Indiana, Andy, you have a chance to go up 3-0. And no NBA team has been down 3-0 and come back.
Okay.
This is it. Indiana is going to be so ready to go. And the Cavs are going to have to answer that enthusiasm. They're going to have to answer that energy. And they're going to have to answer that health. I mean, if Evan steps on the floor, if Darius steps on the floor, DeAndre Hunter steps on the floor, none of us want to hear about any injuries. Okay, you're out there. Go. I mean, you clearly don't mind sitting out if you have to. Okay? And keep that in mind. These guys didn't skip anything. And they could not play. If they were able to play, they would have played. But if they step on the floor tonight, then they're good to go. So we don't want to hear any injuries. Go play. Go win the game. You got to win the game. They're not paying you to beat Charlotte in February.
No.
That's not why you're making tens of millions of dollars.
I also wonder if some of the talk over the last 2 days about these three guys that weren't able to play in game two, you know, the perception of that, and now you get, you know, guys like Ron Harper on social media, other players, a lot of fans going, why can't these guys just suck it up and go out there and play, tape an aspirin to it and go? It's the playoffs. You can live with the pain and figure out the pain after the playoffs. And I thought, you know, and Chris Fedor was on, what, the afternoon show yesterday? He made a really good point about the psychological part of the fan connection to these three guys right now.
The listing of these guys is questionable.
I understand is playing into this whole conversation, and the Cavs have to be better about that. They think they're in the right by doing that. Obviously, gamesmanship, not showing your cards, making Indiana have to guess. When you list a guy as doubtful, it's very different than questionable. If you list a guy as out, it's obviously very different than questionable. So they think they're doing the right thing from a strategic standpoint, but it's not helping. It's not helping the optics of these guys. So look, this is the playoffs. All these guys want to play. They have busted their ass throughout the course of this regular season to be in a position to help this team win a championship. You think they want to sit? You think they want to be stuck on the bench, relegated to cheerleaders? If they could play, they would play. They can't play. That's the problem.
I tend to agree with everything Chris just said.
Absolutely.
Right there. And he's right. Like, why? If we knew they were doubtful, and you were knew that, and even if you said doubtful and played him, what's the difference? Right? You'd say a guy's doubtful, and everyone's like, oh, that means they're probably not going to play. Probably not going to. But you know what? There's still a margin of error that they could play.
You know what questionable means? To me, when you hear the questionable designation,
50-50?
Well, you and I know what it means. It's like, yeah. All right. It's still not good.
Right.
You know, we just, having done sports for our whole careers, we know questionable means, except for one thing. Questionable means, so you're telling me there's a chance. And then that
isn't
goes.
Isn't doubtful saying you're telling me there's a tiny chance?
Doubtful means, you and I both know, doubtful in the NBA means you're not going to play.
Right.
Doubtful means you're not going to play. Questionable means, you know, it's up to the player on how he feels before the game. So if he feels good, he's going to be out there. This is going to be all right. He's going to be able to go. I think questionable gives you an actual feeling of optimism that Chris is right. They shouldn't put on these guys, because then to me, the onus goes right onto the player, at least as far as public perception goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it means, wait, he was questionable. It means that there was a chance he was going to play and he didn't play. Well, what a wimp.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
No.
That's not fair.
No, it's not. So, I mean, the fact they're down 0-2 is because of the play on the floor and the guys that are actually out there. But they're not helping themselves. The Cavs didn't help themselves in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, and who knows what time.
You do have to give the proper designation or teams get in trouble with the league.
So, I still comes back to, if there's any chance someone's going to play, what's the difference if they're questionable or doubtful? You understand what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay.
I don't know this for sure.
If you think they're not going to play, say doubtful.
I don't know this for sure. Doesn't that have to do with an awful lot with some of their gambling partners and everything else?
Their transparency.
You've got to keep it above board.
I still think the NBA transparency is just is okay. Let's have these two minute reports. They make no sense at all. All they do is cause aggravation. I don't ever remember reading a two-minute report going, oh, man, that is so awesome. There was a lane violation that should have been called at the end of the game, and they didn't call it, and the game ended up going to the other team because they won because they didn't call the lane violation. I am so glad the NBA was able to point that out, because that's never going to happen again, because they have fixed that problem, because I saw that in the two-minute report. Yeah, when that happens, it's going to be very, very cold in the middle of July. I do something about it. If you're going to put out these stupid two-minute reports at the end, do something about it. And if you see that there was a blatant issue in that two-minute, because you feel like the NBA themselves are saying, Jeff, we feel the last two minutes are important, because otherwise it would be the three-minute report or the four-minute report, or how about the entire game report?
Well, see, there, it's, yeah.
And so the NBA sets you up for this feeling of, whoa, the last 2 minutes are so important because we're going to put out a two-minute report to let you know how bad our referees messed up. Okay? If they messed up and you found fault, I mean, no one wants to do this because I think it would make everything go backward. And I mean, you play the game, play it out, and see how it happens. But, I mean, seriously, if the NBA said they completely missed these calls at the end of the game and it directly affected the end of the game, why wouldn't a team protest and have to replay the last 2 minutes of the game? I know no one wants to hear that, and I know that's just not the way we do it. We don't play. Well, and quit putting out the two-minute report.
Who do you protest to?
The league.
And what's the league say? No. Thanks.
The league says you're correct, and because we put this out in the two-minute report, and we concur, and guess what? Get your you-know-whats back out on the floor. We're going to replay the last 2 minutes.
Let's go back to the third quarter. That missed call.
No, there isn't a third quarter report.
That cost us three. Well, you can submit plays all the time. The NBA right. teams do that.
Oh, I know.
You know, hey, did they miss this call? Did they miss this call? And they get word back from the NBA. So if you miss the call in the second quarter, you're going to go back and replay it from the second quarter? No, they're not doing any of that.
No, because the NBA...
Nor should they.
The NBA hasn't deemed the second quarter important.
Okay, well, I don't care about the two-minute report. I care about game three.
I do, too. But what I'm saying is that it's also... We're talking about words here, right? We're talking about questionable versus doubtful, about setting up expectations and making these players look like they're the bad guys because of the words they're using to describe how they are pregame, and then they don't play, and then we say, oh, man, I can't believe these guys didn't suck it up and go out there and play. That's the issue that we're talking about right now. So if all three of these guys go out there and play tonight, what is that? How does that increase the odds of the Cavaliers having a chance to win? If these three guys are back out there tonight, Jeff, do you think that increases the chance of their winning?
Well, sure. Of course it does.
But we talked about it in the beginning of this segment, and you're like, I still feel like it's
Pacers. I think the Pacers win game three.
No matter what.
I didn't hesitate. I didn't stutter.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I think the Pacers win tonight.
All right. I don't know. I look at these guys, and I'm trying to figure out. I'm hoping that they're back tonight. So why, though? Let me ask you that, then. Why do you think Indiana – what will Indiana do tonight to put the Cavaliers away?
Same thing they did in game one. Come out really ready to play, move the ball, space, find the open man. As Kenny Atkinson described it, put the Cavs in a blunder, meaning they're moving the ball so well that somebody's going to end up with a wide-open look. It was amazing how many wide-open shots that the Cavaliers allowed the Pacers to have in game one. Not as many in game two. I thought the Cavs did a much better job in game two defensively. But I expect that to come out. And, you know, the Indiana fans know, the Pacers know, we get tonight, we're going to get this series. And the Cavs know we have to have tonight or we're pretty much toast. So if I had to pick, I'm thinking Indiana's going to win this game tonight. Already heard from a friend who said, nope, Cavs are going to win. Well, I hope so. But... you know, I'm not here for hope.
I have a decent feeling about the Cavs. I just don't see them laying down and dying the way Miami did. And I've said this 100 times. Miami didn't do the Cavs any favors by the way those last couple of games went. And, you know, were the Cavs really, really good? Yeah, they were really good. And maybe there was nothing Miami could have done because they were that far behind. And they were that, you know, just like that they weren't on the same level. And Milwaukee definitely helped out. I thought Indiana, because the way they were able to come into the series and play as if they, you know, they meant it and everything else was going to be great. Now, the guys lost game two, and then what is their mental focus going into this game three? Dean Wade talked about that.
We came together as a team yesterday, and even after the game, things happen. You know, we're a vet team. We've been through some things, so everyone was in a great mindset, everything. So I think we moved past it very well, and what we got to do next game is come out and be, you know, extra focused, play for each other.
Extra focus. I don't know if that's enough to help them get the win. I think having those guys back on the floor would definitely help them, you know, be able to win this game tonight. I don't know. I go back to the depression after game two, and hopefully they can erase that tonight. And they were right there. They should have had game two. We all know it. There's also this question of, did they run out of gas at the end of game two? And I know a lot of people are talking about that.
I think there's no question. They played a great game in game two. They really did. And they played a lousy fourth quarter. You can still play a great game and play a lousy fourth quarter and win. They just didn't pull it off. You know,
I thought
they were going to win that game.
I thought they ran out of gas, but somebody else didn't. We'll tell you who that was next. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. And we roll on talking about that. We're also going to have the Browns. Rookies are in town. It's freshman orientation weekend. In Berea, what's going on with the boys? We'll find out soon here as they hit the podium. We'll get to hear from at least one of them today. 216-474-0092.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
They just need to get a win tonight. Doesn't game four doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is tonight. And the Cavs, you know, give up 121 the first time. They give up 120 the second. And I said it before. I'll say it again. First one 120. It seems to be a good litmus test for who would win the game. And the Pacers have done it twice now. And the Cavs haven't been able to get there, especially in that first game where they were, you know, they struggled to do what got them to where they were, and that was hit three-pointers. And, you know, again, you can go back, you can mix the numbers, you can try to figure out, oh, if so-and-so does so-and-so, if Ty Jerome, you know, can hit a three-pointer here or there, it makes a difference. It's, you know, it's one or two. Mitchell, you know, you look at what he was able to do, and we have 48 points in game two, but I think part of the scenario of the Cavaliers struggling in game two are the minutes that they played. You know, Dean Wade had 30. Jared Allen had 38. Donovan Mitchell had 36. And, you know, you look, and every time he's on the bench, I know when they pulled him out in the beginning of the fourth quarter, I was like, they need to get him back out on the floor, but I understand why he's not playing because they got to rest him. And Jeff said this last segment, and I agree with you. It's just they ran out of gas. And I think
I thought so.
Every time you get knocked down and get back up again, the whole, what, Chumbawamba song? I mean, that's a great song, but it takes a lot out of your body every time you get knocked down and then you got to get back up. And the way Indiana plays offense, you got to hustle. It's not like you have no time to recover on the floor there for a second. You can't go soccer player. Sorry, Dan. You can't be laying on the ground there for more than, you know, a fraction of a second because the Pacers know that they've got a 5-on-4 back the other way once you're sitting on the ground. And then they're going to stick it to you, and that's been part of their success all season long. All right, so you thought they ran out of gas, correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I did. Their differences between the first three quarters and the fourth quarter were significant.
21 points, right?
Well,
that'll show you that, too.
Well, look at the shooting percentages and stuff. They were just terrible.
Tired legs. That's what I saw.
And their defense wasn't as good.
No. So I mean, think about it. They scored 37 points in that third quarter and only 21 in the fourth, and they got outscored 36-21 in the fourth quarter. You know who doesn't agree with us? A friend of ours, Chris Fedor. And Chris also said this about the whole running out of gas stuff.
I just get so confused by this whole conversation of the Cavs ran out of gas. And Kenny Atkinson brought it up the other night. And look, like, I know it's tough to play against Indy. It is the fastest team in the NBA. They put constant pressure on you. But none of these guys played 40 minutes, guys. Like, we've got Mikal Bridges playing 51 and coming up with big plays down the stretch. You know what I mean? So, like, Kenny said that in the post game, and I just, like, popped my head up. I'm like, wait a minute. I think the highest minute total was 37? Like, Kenny knows his team certainly better than anybody else. So if he feels like, you know, pushing those guys a little bit too much to that kind of workload, then he's going to have to extend his bench, and he's going to have to try and steal minutes throughout the course of the game.
Chris Fedor, Afternoon Drive.
Can I throw a thought out?
Sure.
I understand exactly why Chris said what he said. I get it. I wonder this. Kenny spent the entire regular season, from the day before he even coached a game, saying, you know what, we're going to play a lot of guys, and we're going to go deep, and we're going to manage minutes, and we're going to make sure that our guys don't get overextended, and you know, this is the way we're going to do this. Did they not? Wasn't that the idea?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to the regular season, and no Cavalier averaged more than 31.4 minutes per game. None.
Hmm.
Against Miami, you didn't have to exert yourself too much.
No, that was the whole prep
thing. Well, all of a sudden here, you're exerting yourself a little bit more. In game two, Max Strus played 39 minutes. Jared Allen played 38. Donovan played 36. And you didn't have the depth that you usually have because you had three guys sitting there who you would have wanted to have played significant minutes. So what the Cavaliers have done all season long, they've not been able to do. In any of the last four playoff games, against Miami, it didn't matter because those guys had checked out. But it mattered in game one because Darius is going to play significant time. And it really mattered in game two. And so you're suddenly asking guys to do what they hadn't trained to do all season long. And remember, we had the conversation, would Kenny play more, you know, shorten the rotation in the playoffs? And my contention was, why? It worked beautifully in the regular season. Well, he had no choice in game two. And that's why I think the guys were gassed. They're not used to playing that. They're just not. And you might think, well, it's only six, seven, eight more minutes a game. Yeah, well, you know, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said to the kid in Airplane, you tried dragging his, you know what, up and down the court all game long. Who's he talking about? Bob Lanier? Is that who he was talking about?
Yeah, it was. He said to Jabbar, it was, my dad says you said.
Yeah.
That, and he, you tried to.
And I think I think it was Bob Lanier. I might not be sure. You tried dragging his butt up and down the floor. And I just wonder if that's a part of it. I don't know. Hmm. What I do know is Indiana's outplayed the Cavaliers in one full game in about 12 minutes of another.
It's true. But, I just keep looking back at the numbers from game two, and I'm still trying to figure out, man, if that game would have ended, you know, what, 2 minutes earlier, it would have been a different scenario.
Yeah, but Andy?
It didn't. I know.
Keep going back to this, though. Second quarter, 35 points. Third quarter, 34 points. Fourth quarter, 36 points allowed to the Indiana Pacers. The Cavs' defense has not been good. And again, you can go back to, okay, well, the defensive player of the year wasn't in there in game two. Neither was the guy you brought in to play wing defense, DeAndre Hunter. So, I mean, there are all kinds of excuses, but excuses are based in reality here.
All right, how confident are you in the Cavs getting a win tonight? 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. So, you know, when you look at it...
Can I get you some news, gentlemen?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you get too far in?
Yeah. Who's in?
Tony East, who covers the Pacers Forbes magazine, has a photo out right now of Cleveland Cavaliers shoot-around, Evan Mobley taking shots, Darius Garland taking shots. DeAndre Hunter also participating in shoot-around. So all three guys are out for shoot-around participating.
Right. They weren't for game two. Thought was they were probably getting treatment. Just because they're taking some shots doesn't mean they're going to play tonight, but certainly would look like a much better sign.
All right, so Jason Lloyd also talked about this. You know, I said to you, do the Cavaliers, how confident are you in the Cavs getting a win tonight, right? I'm asking you that right now. We'll talk about it a little bit more. 216-474-0092. But Jason Lloyd was also on Afternoon Drive yesterday and specifically talked about, look, if these guys play, then this.
If they don't get Darius and Evan back, are they out of the series? Yeah. Yeah, it's probably over. They probably aren't going to win the series without two of their big three or four or whatever catchy phrase you want to use for them. But if they can get these guys back on the floor, they can absolutely still win the series. I've already said I left the arena after game one believing Darius was going to play. I was fairly surprised he did not play game two. Just from the indications I was getting was that he was probably going to play, that he was going to play game two. And then for him not to play, I have no explanation as to why he didn't. But, you know, it sounds like hopefully, maybe, possibly, I know, I think Joe just wrote a story for us, just tweeted out, trending as if all three could play in game three. If that's the case, if they get these guys back, absolutely this is still a series. I mean, they got the work cut out for them, no question about it. But the Cavs are the best team in the East for a reason.
Hard to argue with that.
No, I agree. And now a little bit of Tony East is the guy's name, right? Writes for Forbes. Is that what you said?
Correct. Writes for Forbes. Yeah. Danny Cunningham also has all four of them on, okay, or all three of them on the floor during shoot around as well. It's making its way around, but Tony had the photos to back it up. So that's why I ran with it.
All right, so then I guess we'll find out here during shoot around. They talk, right? They'll talk now and then they'll talk later. We'll see what they say. Hopefully we get some good news here this morning that these three guys are going to get back. But I ask the question, even if they have them back, even two out of the three, how confident are you in getting a win tonight for the Cavaliers? And Jeff, you've kind of laid out your premise on this.
I think the Pacers win tonight.
I kind of like the Cavs tonight. I just think that they need to just go out and take care of business. I thought you had a good stat, though, before we hit the air. We were talking about Halliburton against the Cavaliers this season.
Oh.
Then the one game.
The Pacers have won 5 out of 6 games against the Cavs this year. Throw out a couple of them.
Throw out the last two of the regular
season. The last two I would definitely throw out. The only game the Cavaliers won against Indiana this year, I mean, you can throw out the last two because, you know, a lot of guys didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
But was the game, and they played them kind of back-to-back games early on in the season. Cavs lost at home, and Halliburton played. Then they went to Indiana. Cavs won. Halliburton did not play.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's where we stand. It appears these guys are out on the floor during shoot-around. That's good news. I would assume Garland, Mobley, and Hunter. What does that mean? How confident are you in getting a win tonight? We'll take some of your phone calls when we come back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.